that puts us on to our last talk for today, which is the National Broadband Map, care of Jamie Hole. While we break, I don't know if you guys all were aware, but the in your rooms, if you're staying in this hotel, there is a network cable with a little RevaNet tag on it, which we've actually hacked and plugged into our network. So if you want to get network access from your room, you aren't limited to the wireless, and of course it's land speed or something to that effect. We'll be putting it back before we leave.
I guess you guys are probably wanting to get out of here. I know the day's been pushing on a bit, so this will be short, and I'll really endeavour to keep it short. Now, I'm here representing the State Services Commission. I work within the Office of the Government CIO. I don't know if many of you are actually aware, but the New Zealand Government now has a Chief Information Officer that sits within the State Services Commission, Lawrence Miller. He's also a Deputy Commissioner. Now, the State Services Commission has an overarching goal, and that goal is to provide world-class state services to New Zealand. And under that overarching goal, there are actually some development goals. So I am here to present a project that's been run from within the government CIO's office that actually supports and touches on a few of those development goals, and that's the National Broadband Map. Now, the National Broadband Map kind of kicked off in about November 2007 as an idea. Since then, it's grown and it has been built upon.
Danny, where did you get that picture from? That's cool.
I found it on the internet. And it's submarine traffic by volume. I tried to find it on my computer too, but I don't know where it actually is. So. So the map is accessible online at broadbandmap.govt.nz, and I have put a screenshot there, but I'm picking, most of you are probably having a look at this map right now. So as I mentioned, it sits within State Services Commission and aligns with a few of our development goals. Goal 2, network state services, network being probably a bit more holistic than we deal with here. Value for money state services and accessible state services. So it fits in with 3 of their 6 development goals, specifically goal number 2. We want to use technology to transform the provisions of services for New Zealand. So the National Broadband Map is basically a visual representation of broadband demand and supply in New Zealand. It is intended as a resource for planning broadband infrastructure. So we're unashamedly layer one about it. It is actually identifying what infrastructure is out there across New Zealand that can actually support networks on top of it. So we've gone about quantifying demand, mainly state sector demand. We're quite good at finding out what's going on in the state sector. We're not so good at finding out what's going on across the rest of New Zealand, but we are trying to capture at least some of that information. And we've worked closely with New Zealand's network suppliers and telcos and quantifying supply, and we've just finally hit a bit of a milestone in that we've pretty much got every telco and network in New Zealand to actually contribute to National Broadband Map. That's right across wireless, copper and fibre networks, so we're pretty much every network. Not all are up there yet, we're still getting some of the information. So I think as of a couple of days ago, we had about 26 networks represented on the map, and wireless, fibre and copper-based. Now, the telcos and networks have been unbelievably cooperative in supplying this information. We've got absolutely no mandate to collect this information. We can't put pressure on telcos. We can't put pressure on networks to say, give us information. it's been very cooperative. The telcos and networks have responded to our requests, and we are very appreciative, and we can't talk highly enough about them. So we've, in going to those networks, most of the supply data is held up in what you call more traditional DIS systems. So our application actually helps at exposing that DIS data without requiring large licenses for DIS software. On the demand side, we've worked pretty hard at making as much state sector demand available as possible. We've got about 12,000 demand points on the map at the moment, and that covers government, health, education, local government, and some business. Although, as I said before, we're not that good at capturing stuff outside of the state sector. We've got more coming on board. I just received a file of an extra 14,000 health demand points, and we're actually trying to qualify some of that demand. As an example, we're trying to attach additional metadata, stuff like school roles, number of employees in a health facility, as a proxy for broadband demand. We took accessibility and openness into account right up front when we first spec'd the map. So we realised that we were probably the worst people at using the data, so we've tried to make that data as open as possible. We've made it open in a whole number of ways, and we've tried to make the demand as transparent as possible. So it's a web-based tool. Anybody can go on, turn on demand points, turn them on and off. But all of that underlying information is actually also available via some database APIs. We have a RESTful interface and we have a SOAP interface. From what we can tell, the RESTful interface is getting the most use by number of users. The SOAP interface is getting the most use by volume. It's a pretty open API too. It's full read, write and delete. Anybody can add demand points programmatically however they like. They can also delete demand points that they are an owner of. And we've tried to use open standards as much as possible. XML, KML, we can say that now because it is becoming an open standard. We were going to support XAL, that might pop along later. And we ensured that all the source code that we've developed has actually been made available on an open source license. We've had to deal with a few tricky problems, so we've solved those, and that is available for anybody else to use. But the big success is that we now know that it's actually being used for broadband planning in New Zealand. We know it's being used by central government. We're aware of agencies and government departments that are using it to identify potential suppliers and identify what's actually available to them prior going to RFPs. We know that they're using it to influence some of their decision making and what services they purchase or what services they use. We know it's been used extensively at the local government level, particularly with the Broadband Investment Fund. Quite a lot of local government use the map as a way of identifying demand points and also identifying where the gaps are between supply and demand. And we know that it's being used by networks. We're aware of networks that have changed some of their deployment plans to get closer to some of the demand points. We also know that it's being used in a whole variety of ways. We know that the database APIs are getting quite a bit of use. We know people are just opening up the KML stuff in Google Earth and using it that way. We know that others are pulling it into spreadsheets to get a better idea. And we know that others are actually pulling it into web-based applications. We know there's one development going on at the moment, and we've seen that data pop up in another mashup. So I better end that here because I bet everybody wants to get out. So what questions do we have out there?
You're focusing obviously on business and government.
Yeah.
How about residential broadband demand?
We have the ability to capture it. We're not capturing it at the moment because we've got some survey tools in there so people can go and drop a point on the map, say this is what I've got and this is what I want. also looking at some other ways. We might bring the mesh block data in, because that will give us an idea of population, maybe even be able to use some demographics to get a concept of, you know, a proxy for demand. But we have kind of steered clear from residential. We don't specifically capture it, and we just want to be careful with some of the residential stuff. There's some privacy issues here. We're exposing as much data as possible, and it would be pretty nasty if we exposed data that was actually personally identifiable.
Did demand support the request for IPv6?
Possibly. Possibly, no.
Have you, I know you don't focus on residential, but have you thought about working with the Commerce Commission's performance? Do you have any interest in the performance of broadband in areas, as well as is it just available, or is it just a, yes, it's here and you can get these kind of things here? Yeah.
Well, I mean, remember, we've had to work with networks, and I guess we don't want to be trying to work with the networks and at the same time trying to assess them. There's been a few ideas floating about throwing a speed test in, maybe as a mashup. I don't know, because we've got the API. It's possible to write to a speed field in that API, but I mean, we don't work with the Commerce Commission, and the State Services Commission actually is about the state sector and delivering the best service in New Zealand through the state sector.
How long did it take you to develop the map from start to end?
Well, it's history. It was kicked off at the Digital Summit in November 2007, and that literally was a mashup thrown up in a couple of months. It went out to RFP last February, and development started in March. It was polished off late July, and since then we've been, trying to make it look a wee bit better. So, all in all, it was about a 3-month project for this iteration of it, which has got a lot more functionality than the previous.
Cool. So any other questions? We'll be able to call that a day. Thank you very much for your presentation. Open source to And a big thanks to all the presenters today who spoke. We do appreciate it, and I'm sure we all learnt a lot today.